You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, the podcast of serialized fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. Unmagical Boy Story, Part 3. 9 p.m. I hate that song so much right now. Belladonna University has always had the band. It's like this. Belladonna U has always had a student band that somehow achieved the status. Thanks to an unholy combination of local in-jokes, hometown support, and indefinable charisma. Some of the bands go on to national success. Harpy Riot, Owl by Night, Siren. Some of them vanish without trace. Secondhand Cauldron, Cersei's Sons, Mephistopheles. When Viola Vale was a firstie, the band was Kraken. And they were off the hook. Their sound was edgy hard rock, but the lyrics were smart and sassy, full of intellectual wit and old-school magic credibility. Viola loved them. Then they all graduated a couple of years back, and it wasn't Kraken at Medea's Cauldron on a Friday night anymore. It was this slot. Fake Geek Girl, a cluster of nobodies singing about unreal culture, mixing it up with witch tradition as if that was somehow a normal thing to do. Viola had no interest in the message they were selling, and that was before they stole her best friend. "Ugh, I hate this song," said Hebe Hallow, which was the first time all night that Viola liked her a little. "I swear Holly only includes it to wind me up." "It's a classic," Chauvelin teased her. "It's depressing. I think it's supposed to be funny." Viola frowned, paying attention to the lyrics instead of the conversation. 10 steps to survive the zombie apocalypse? Ugh, they couldn't pay her to listen to this kind of rubbish. Everyone knows that if the world is going to end, it will be with ice and trolls. Or possibly dragons. That gave her an idea for her Hesiod paper, and she slid a pen out of her pocket to jot a few notes on the back of the nearest beer coaster. Unreal technology was mostly an unnecessary annoyance, but Viola did appreciate the invention of the biro. Imagine if they were all still juggling quills and ink. When she finally stopped scrawling, she had a neat stack of 5 annotated coasters, and the only other person left at the table was Hebe Hallow. Viola glanced around for the boys, realizing as she did so that Hebe must have been the one handing her fresh coasters. Usually it was Jules who did that. Since the one time he refused to indulge her, she wrote half an essay plan across the back of his designer suit. "They're dancing," Hebe said with a soft smile, nodding to where Jules and Chauve were making a disgrace of themselves to a song that appeared to be about dice. She must have misheard that. And it used the word bitches a lot. "Best not to let them know we've noticed," Viola said sharply, tapping her pen. "If they think we're watching, they'll just start grinding." "You don't like me very much, do you?" noted Hebe, as if it was a passing thought and not the theme of the evening. "Don't take it personally, dear. I don't like people." Viola shoved the coasters in her handbag for later. "I have a paper I should be working on," she admitted. "I would be just as rude if I didn't have something better to do, but..." Actually, there was no but. "I'm sure Ferd would understand if you had to head back to the dorms." Viola narrowed her eyes. "Are you trying to get rid of me?" "Wow." Hebe let out a shocked laugh. "You really don't like people." "No, you're right the first time." Viola kicked her bag under the table. "It's just you." She stood up, marched across the pub to where the worst band in the world were playing what had to be one of the top 10 worst songs of all time, and hurled herself hip first at Jules Nightshade. He caught hold of her, dragged her in between himself and Chauvelin, and they began to dance like they used to, the three of them, before everything went to hell. "See," growled Chauve in her ear, "not so bad, is it?" Viola danced harder and faster. She was in bed with an artist when she heard the news. D, she never bothered to learn more than an initial, it saved time, was tall and broad in all the right places. He knew how to keep his mouth shut, and he was excellent with his hands. He had approached her in the library, requesting to sketch her for a series of sculptures he was building of terrifying mythological women. After witnessing the savaging Viola gave a first-year librarian about the correct regulations on interlibrary loans, he thought she would make an excellent Gorgon. It was Viola's favourite chat-up line she had heard all year. So she allowed him an hour or so with the pencil before she gave him an arch look and started removing items of clothing. It had been a very good weekend. She was on the verge of kicking him out of her bed and back to whatever corner of Belladonna University was reserved for finger painters when the message came in over every mirror in her room. Urgent. Call me. Viola kicked out the Slayer of Gorgons and connected a mirror call while trying to locate a fresh pair of knickers. What is it, Nightshade? His face flickered before her, taking in her crumpled lingerie and sex hair, before he covered his eyes. Bloody hell, Vale, give me some warning next time. Talk faster. There's been an accident in the thaumaturgy labs. They've been evacuated. Huh. What's the gossip? Was Shove around for it? He should know. Vale? Jules sounded deadly serious. He wasn't evacuated with the others, and he won't pick up my calls. Heat flickered inside Viola's ribs, where she kept her feelings sometimes. Doesn't mean anything. Will you call his mother for me? They might have told her something. Call her yourself. She hates me. The flames in her chest were subsiding. She hates everyone. It's one of the things I most respect about her. Vale. Viola took a deep breath. Stand by. And she called Shove's mother. Thank you for listening. There'll be another episode of Unmagical Boy Story next week.